It was one of those, I'm sorry I got caught.
That was one of my favorite ones because it had such a catchy beat. And it was so, you could dance to it, really.
it was like deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. Choose now to live as a gay man.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we're super excited to hear to have a fancy repeat guest.
Oh, a super fancy guest here. Totally thrilled.
Yep.
Today we have Lauren Moll in the Hey You Know It studio.
Yay. Hey, Lauren Moll's back.
Thanks so much for having me back. Oh. You guys always have the best candy.
Yeah, yes. That's what people remember from the podcast is the snacks.
On the way, I was like, should I get candy? I was like, no. They have it there.
And I'll be candy late here. Okay. But we'll know next time to separate the Skittles, red and green only. She's like a rock star. Red and green only. Yes. If you'd had a contract with us, we'd know.
Yeah.
And we would have done it.
We would have read it, too.
Yeah, we would have read it ahead of time.
Yeah, because you guys are professional. I was just saying, you guys are a very professional podcast to do. I love doing it.
Okay. People think, hey, you know, they think professional. So what's new?
A lot. I just finished an album in March. I finished it. It's called Apologies from Men. And
okay.
It's all the Me Too movement, like male apologies.
Cut it down to just one album?
Ooh, it was so hard. That's a very good question. It was so hard. I just took the ones that were like coming out at the time as I was writing it.
Okay. Hot off the presses.
Yeah. At first it was going to be like all male apologies like from all time. Like Bill Clinton and like the Kanye West apology. Stuff like that. But then after the Louis C.K. apology happened, I was like, oh shit, I need to shift the focus of these apologies to just the Me Too movement.
Okay.
Just these like sexual harassers and like rapists and like just general creeps.
Okay.
And so I took
that's like the title.
That's the theme. Yeah. General creeps.
Yeah.
Just creeps, just creeping.
Creeps, yeah.
Creeping.
The Me Too creeps.
Yeah, yeah. The Me Too creeps.
Yeah. But their apologies, it was just so fun. I mean, terrible to read, but also like fun to see how bad they were at apologizing. Because these are guys who've never had to apologize for anything before, and
it's
terrible
new.
At it.
Yeah.
And they even have a team of people helping them, but it turns out terrible and so insincere and like shows how unempathetic they are to these, you know, survivors of their atrocities. And so I took the ridiculous apologies and turned them into songs to point out like how shitty these apologies were, and then did it as invited some guest musicians on, and then did it as a concert.
Yeah.
And then all the proceeds from the album go to Rain.
Oh, I love Rain. That is the best. For those of you who don't know Rain, it is, what is the acronym stand for?
It's Rape and Incest National Network, or Rape Abuse Incest National Network.
Yeah, and they're a wonderful organization to donate money to for survivors of sexual violence.
So not only did you write the songs, you created videos to these songs.
Are you kidding me? I did not know that.
Oh my God.
First of all, I need to know whose apologies are in here and what the video was like.
It was, okay, so Louis C.K., I took theater, like I was a theater major in college.
You never know.
And, I mean, during the show, like I told the audience, I was like, oh, I was a theater major. And one lady in the audience goes, no kidding.
You were on stage.
Like, I was like, is my mom here?
Yeah, is the one with the mic a theater major?
Yeah. So I did the Louis C.K. and I built a whole little set for his first sitcom, like Life with Louis or whatever, or Lucky Louis, his first sitcom. Mm-hmm.
It's like a diorama.
Yeah.
The cutouts and the cutout characters.
I would just like to say he has always creeped me out to the point where I don't think I've ever watched any of his material.
You are smart. Good for you.
I've also ran into him on the street one day and just thought he was a bum and asked him for directions. His sweatpants were unclean. I'll just put that
way. I don't like them.
In any case.
Yeah, but then I did Kevin Spacey, and that was like a dance track, so I made him just like dancing. And like,
did he actually apologize?
Like, fabulous. I mean, it was a really bad... It wasn't really an apology, but it was,
it was one of those, I'm sorry I got caught.
That was one of my favorite ones, because it had such a catchy beat, and it was so, you could dance to it, really.
It was like deeply inappropriate drunken behavior, choose now to live as a gay man.
Oh, my God.
And it just, like, repeat, because it's just ridiculous that he paired that with his coming out thing. I was like, the two are not related. Like, you were
a
predator,
not related.
And that is not... gay people. Like, that is very different. Stop, don't lump these together. This is not cool.
Yeah.
But then I did, I mean, all the videos are have paper dolls and glitter. Awesome. So, like, get high and watch them.
Puppets?
Yeah, like hand, like paper puppets. Yes. Like it's the cutout of their faces. I was like, I can't, I'm not going to draw their faces. Like, I want, because you Google their names after all this has come out, and of course the press has scoured the web for the worst photos of these men.
Of course.
Like, making, like, really gross faces. So I was like, oh, sweet. So I would just print out a whole sheet of, like 3x3 rows of just, like, them making terrible expressions.
It's like they've stubbed
so
their
fun.
Toe.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, man. You can't see my face, podcast listeners, but it is a gross
it's
face.
Toe.
Yeah.
It's a toe.
The other one was the Charlie Rose apology that you did, a homage to Madonna's Like a Prayer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he's, like, singing to a statue of himself that's crying.
Oh,
it was really silly.
No, I heard that they were
so funny.
Considering doing some kind of a show with all these guys.
Yes, they were going to have Charlie Rose be the moderator and interview all the Me Too guys that were accused.
No.
And it was like, what?
Who's, okay, again, whose idea was this and who is letting them say these things out loud? Do they not have handlers?
You know what these guys need? A platform.
You know, like, no, they need to be able to get their ideas out there to the people.
Yeah.
Just get off the stage, dudes. Yeah.
Like, they can't.
Just,
they won't stop. Yeah. They can't stop.
So, in addition to the album and the videos, you also did a live performance. You did a couple of live performances, but I went to the one at the piano bar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God,
Thank you. That was so
amazing! It was so funny. Yeah. And so, listeners, so Lauren is playing all these songs live with other guest singers there. To the crowd that has come in, which is, you know, people that know you and they've come to...
Were there randoms there too?
No, there was actually, like, very few people that I knew, because a lot of people I knew came to the first one. Or no, actually, it's funny because some of my friends that came, they're like, oh my gosh, we're some of your only friends here. These are all, like, randoms. They're like, who are these people? And I was like, that's a good sign. Like, my friends are tired of the stuff I've been doing. Like, they...
Well, I thought more because you have, like, a presence, so people know who you are, and so they'll come to see your show
That's so nice. Thank you.
So not just your buddies and stuff, but there was this group of, I guess, I don't know who they were. They all the women were wearing the same wig and they were celebrating something.
Oh, yeah, that wig? Group was so fun.
I'm sorry, are you being funny or were they actually wearing wigs?
They were actually wearing wigs.
It was like purple lilac box.
Yeah. And then there's
a
guy
party, maybe.
No, but there were guys with them too. So maybe it was, I don't know.
A bachelor bachelorette party?
Who knows?
These young people.
They
They enjoyed the whole thing. And I was in the bathroom, and two of them walked in, and they were kind of, they were a little drunk, but they were saying, oh my God, I totally did not expect this, and it is so hilarious how, like, we were at this other bar and had no idea how funny this would be. And they're like talking like that. And they were totally going on about
the
show.
Stumbling? That is awesome. Those are some of the best audience members, though.
Yeah.
People who just had came in and were like, let's see.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted
to do it.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do it at Sid Gold's, because I had done it at the Pit, which is like the theater. You pay at the door. You
and
can't
you know.
Get in
yeah.
after, you know, and it's like, it was almost sold out. So then we like started right on time. We like packed everyone in there. But then the one at the piano bar was so laid back. People are kind of coming and going. It was all acoustic. There weren't any, I mean, I did one dance track, but like the rest of it was like super acoustic and like very intimate. It was almost like more fun. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was totally fun. Yeah. I sat at the piano with my wines.
Oh, it's so great to see you there. I'm
jealous now that I didn't see the show. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you. You can at least, we have videos from the first live show online, so you can see some of it live. Because we had great musicians. Jen Kwok was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Allison Greenfield. Talia Robinson helped me sing the Russell Simmons song.
Oh,
yeah. I humbly apologize.
Wow.
And then, who else? Oh, my friend Alexis Diana, who's like a witchy queen, who's also in Gathering the Coven.
Oh,
and
that's,
Jen and Allison are also in Gathering the Coven. And then Chase O'Donnell also was on the album. So we had just a lot of
amazing.
Great gals.
So we will have links to all of this stuff so you can see Lauren Maul do her famous apologies. But tell us about Gathering the Coven. This is a new show.
Oh, yes. So this is my labor of love. And like, I had been doing monthly shows, and then it got to be like too much. And so I switched my monthly to like now I do the dudes being dudes being dude show just like when people ask me to, like festivals will ask, and so I'll do it like once a year. It's that's enough. I don't want to think like Scott Talent this night.
Yeah, so just for the listeners, dude. I know you talked about dudes being dudes being dudes before, but this
So dudes being dudes, not just dudes being dudes, but dudes being dudes, is a show with only women and LGBTQ folks dressed up as straight men performing comedy. And for
being dudes.
And it's so fun and so cathartic, and we have done it monthly for like 3 years. We did it for a long ass time. And then I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to think like this character anymore. And it got to be too much. So then we were seasonally, and that was fun. But then I was just like, you know what? Like, I want to move on to other projects. So it exists. It's out there. If people want me to do it, I'll do it. But
you'll be a dude.
Yeah.
When called.
Yeah.
And Bitchcraft also, which is like a show at Sid Gold's, that piano bar where I did Apologies for Men, that used to be monthly for like 4 years. And it was great. But we wouldn't get consistent audiences. So now we're seasonally, which is perfect because it's just four times a year. We pack it. It's great. But then we get better acts as well because it's just like four times a year. So I was like, well, do I really want to do a monthly one again? It's like, you know what? I want to do one on the full moon, and I want it to be a talk show for witches, and have it be very, like, lighthearted, but not making fun of it, like, very legitimate, because my friends and I, like, really are, like, do little coven things together, like, we are very witchy, we are witches, and so it's like, we want to respect it, but also bring more people into it, and just have it be, like, a safe space for people to be... you know, like earnest.
We can still do that nowadays, I think.
In 2018, there's room for earnestness.
Yeah, so I kind of put away like the satire, and now I'm moving into more like Earnestville. And
But the
audience response was so powerful for the first show. The audience was packed. Katie was there. So good to see you.
Yes.
And afterwards, some people came up to me and they were like, this was like full moon church and we want to come back every full moon. So it just was, it was just nice. I was like, well, let's start a cult now.
That's how cults get started.
So it was really great. Yeah, it was definitely the talk show for witches where you had different witch guests on talking about, they had to pick a question and talk about... you know, answer it, whatever.
Yeah, like their favorite ritual or who, that's like what's on their like witchy playlist.
I was just thinking because we had Tara Teresa Hill on here and her mother is a witch.
Right.
Send me her info, please.
So maybe Lady Rhea, the Witch of New York.
The Witch of New York.
Yeah. Send me, will you email me her info? Yeah. I would love to book her. Maybe. Oh my goodness.
And we'd love to have Tara back. We should probably talk about that as well.
Yay.
Cool. Yeah, but it was so cool. Yeah, and everybody was very happy there. And it was kind of the thing where, like...
I mean, what's not to be happy about? You know, I mean, I feel like it's like positive.
Yeah, but it was more about people being empowered and just doing things their way, whatever they felt. So you see, you know... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't get the words out.
Just doing themselves.
Yeah.
Living
their best lives.
Living their best lives.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
And living the dream.
Right.
And so the next show. And so now we're doing it like themes and stuff. So the first show is kind of like everyday magic. My friend Gabe, who I was talking about, he loves the yellow and purple Skittles. So he always eats them for me. Thank goodness. But he came and he did the show and he talked about the magic of gardening. And even brought pieces of a plant and gave it to the audience.
Yeah,
that's
cool. To, like,
cool.
go and propagate at home. And then we had, if you Google NYC Witch, this wonderful woman, Liz Pressman, comes up, and she was, like, our headlining guest. And she said she's met a lot of witches in her life because she's been a Wiccan since, like, age 14. But she said that we were the nicest witches she had ever met. And she wants to come back. And I was like, please come back and do the show.
So how do you find your guests?
Well, a lot of them I know. They're just, like, friends of mine. Like, like Jen Kwok and Allison Greenfield are super witchy, and they do this kind of, like, ambient, very kind of like trance, like magical music that puts the audience, wouldn't you say it, like, put you in this trance, like this uplifting, like goosebump.
It was
giving.
Mesmerizing with some of the songs and
And then Jen had a slideshow behind her of like the woods and water and all this, and the audience is just like, oh, we're having a catharsis, like this is beautiful.
It sounds awesome.
So they're my regular musical guests. So each they are working on new songs. They have new songs for this Friday.
So it's every full moon.
Every full moon, except August. We're taking August off.
Okay, you're taking August off, but generally every full moon.
Every full moon at the pit in the underground space. So it's like,
I like that space.
Yeah,
that's a cool space.
It's cool.
It's very intimate, and I don't. It feels like old school comedy.
Yeah.
In a new space.
Yeah.
Like, it's old school comedy, but the bathrooms
work. It doesn't smell musty or anything. Yeah.
Like, there's not a roach drinking out of your drink.
Yeah.
It's nice down there. Yeah. And we have, like, a female tech, and so, like, the whole vibe of the show is just, like, like, very... There's not, like, the dude in the tech booth, like... Ladies, you ready? It's like, no, it's like and a woman back there who's like, places, everyone. You know, like, super zen and, like, wonderful. Yeah. So,
and then, right, you gave out cupcakes. Somebody brought cupcakes. And we gave
the audience, like, healing stones, like, healing magical stone. Things.
Yeah.
Instead of a DJ, my friend Alexis is DJ Energy, and she goes around the room and, like, just gives people, like, love and, like, healing energy.
I love it. No, there's nothing else like that anywhere else, guaranteed, people. Go see the show.
Yes.
Every fall. I'm going to try to come to the one on Friday.
Yay, please. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a healing stone.
I would like a healing stone.
Yeah.
In fact, get a couple ready. Get a fucking boulder.
Yeah.
Because shit's going down.
Yeah. I'll see if you see it with a boulder.
Yes. So, anything else you want to tell us about?
Oh, well.
That's new? Any secrets? I'm like Oprah. You can tell us.
Tell us your secrets.
Oh, I'm teaching kids now during the day. I was doing it just like on a weekly basis, but now it's like... full time.
Really?
Except I have Tuesdays off, which is nice, so I can, like, stay out late tonight. This is a Monday.
All right. Hey,
eat all
to
the Skittles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the Coors Light. But it's so fun because, like, the kids are the sweetest, and their parents are, like, incarcerated, and so the whole program is, I won't say the name of it because I don't know if they want to be associated with me. Who knows? In my witchiness, you never know. I mean, on my resume, the first thing on my resume does say good witch, and they still hired me, so it's like, come on.
Hey, maybe they like a witch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes a little
they
magic.
Need to, some powers.
Some people are more open-minded than others.
But the kids are just great, and it's so inspiring, and it's neat to, like, I'm working on another project too, and I feel like it's helping me, like, focus more on that. Because, mm-hmm. like, during the day, I'm with the kids, like, running things, helping, like, lead them through this camp. And then at night, like, I'm crashing, but on weekends, I'm, like, working on this new musical. And so it's helping, like, me focus my free time to, like,
I think I find working, so. I haven't worked with kids in a while, but I find they give you a lot of energy and creativity.
Yes,
they do.
In a way, an adult are the opposite.
Yeah.
They suck the life out of you and they destroy and piss all over your creativity.
Yeah, because I've had office jobs and they're awful. I would watch the clock go. But at this job, I'm constantly living in the moment because the kids are always like, Miss Lauren, Miss Lauren, Miss Lauren. And I'm constantly moving around and I'm never sitting. And so by the end of the day, it's like, whoa, what happened? I feel like Taz from Looney Tunes. Just like, going all over. Taz is on my t-shirt.
And the day goes quickly.
It goes by so fast. And I, like, love my lunch break. Like, today, I usually bring my sandwich, but today I was PMSing. I'm like, Applebee's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah,
like, I've been a teacher for many years. Though. Welcome to Teacherville.
Yeah, thank you.
When you start bringing a small yogurt, then you know you've arrived.
Because I used to teach in Chicago, and I was like, I need to take a break. Because, you know, you hit that limit where you're, like, starting to be cranky to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to expose them to my crankiness. So I took some time off, and now I'm, like, back and invigorated. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh. But this new musical I'm working on is about, has nothing to do with the kids, so it's funny. It's like two different worlds. It's about my childhood growing up in Nebraska in this, like, small town that was supposedly, like, super quaint and nice, but actually had a ton of murder suicides and, like, a lot of darkness attached to it.
Wow.
And so this is, like, a dark comedy musical, and I'm actually taking an artist retreat next week in the woods to, like, work on it.
Nice. Wow. That is awesome. So. I don't know very much about Nebraska. I'm also from a small town area that's supposed to be quaint, and it's the same. If you peel it back,
there's a lot of paint and play stuff going on.
Yeah. And everybody knows what's going on, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right? And when you're a kid, you have a feeling that there's something weird going on.
Yeah.
But you can't figure out what it is because you're young.
As an
adult looking back, you're like, oh my God,
Yeah. So I want, like, I feel like a lot of people in New York are from small towns. Yeah, yeah. And so I want people to tap into that of, like, oh, I remember, like, small towns are universal, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, every small town, you peel back a layer, it's like, ugh.
That's what I find. Interesting when they talk about, like, New Yorkers. I'm like, you're forgetting how many, like, people in the cities, they are not in touch with what's going on in rural America. Most of us fled that shit.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We're 100% in touch with it every time we go back. You know.
All right. There's nothing as exhausting as, like, a suburban lifestyle. Like, trying to, like, even when I go back to visit family or a friend or somebody, The one friend.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's still there. Yeah. Horrifying because everybody is so frantic trying to outdo each other in the same way. There's like a competition going on. Mm-hmm. It's just
and it's the smallest, meanest competition ever.
Yeah.
Has outside of that milieu, it's like, who cares about that SUV?
And in my town, like, people were so competitive and that no one would want to declare bankruptcy. So if a family...
That's a very small town.
Yeah. And
everyone's up to their eyeballs in debt.
Yeah.
But everyone's getting
Exactly. So what would happen in my town is, like, such a common thing. If a dad of the family just, like, found out that they had to declare bankruptcy, instead of declaring it, he would shoot his wife and his kids and then shoot himself at night. And this is just, like, common practice. Yep.
And that's how they handled
it. Because it's like a murder-suicide is a lot easier to sleep with at night than a bankruptcy. Because you're sleeping when you're dead. You know, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's over. We're not going to live a life like that in bankruptcy and then try to dig around.
I don't know why they don't just do the suicide first.
Ugh.
Yeah, kidding.
Leave the
home. Oh, they're like, we don't want to leave our family. But it's like, no. You think you should leave them.
Yeah.
And then same with divorce. They don't want to declare divorce. So what they do is they kill their wife.
If you,
know what I say? And then they kill themselves.
Get yourself an insurance policy. Make it look like an accident.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know? Sometimes people fall into a wheat thresher. It happens.
Yikes.
You know?
It just is so dark.
I can't wait for this
but
musical.
But what's the thing with it?
I love this kind of stuff.
What's the thing with the divorce that you can't be divorced? Like, what is the shame?
They don't want to live in shame because it's a religious town.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of...
Because every small town is a religious town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different religions. There's a lot of, like, super fundamentalist Christians. There's a lot of very devout Catholics. And there's a lot of, pretentious Lutherans. Like, there's just a lot of different types
of Christians. Oh, the pretentious Lutherans.
Yeah. And they're all trying to outdo each other with, like, I'm more Christian than you. And so it's like...
the secret drunk Presbyterians.
Yeah. No universal Unitarians, you know.
No.
Those are too liberal.
Yeah.
This reminds me. At your show, you were talking about the different witches, and you're like, there's, like, as many different witch groups as there are, like...
Protestants.
It's like, really? Exactly. I didn't really think about it that way. There are?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just an individual practitioner. I just, like, choose rituals and stuff. Yeah. I just, like... You know, I have a garden, I take care of plants and animals, like, I just kind of do my own thing. I read books about natural magic and stuff, but I'm not of one practitioner. Because there are, like, mystical societies, like Order of the Golden Dawn, or whatever it's called. And then, you know, like, they're little nutty nuts. And then there's, like, the Wiccans, who are, like, cool, but they're all about, like, these rules and stuff. And so, like, all the witch groups are so different. But so I like to pull from, like... I'm like a cafeteria witch. I just pick and choose, you know?
The Easter Christmas witch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I celebrate the holidays that I want to celebrate.
Yeah. Vernal equinoxes only. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I'm excited. I think it's the summer equinox that's coming up soon. I forget the name of it, but I know there's one in early August, and I'm pumped. See, I'm a bad witch. I don't know the exact names of them.
But
I just know when they're coming.
No, you don't have to. You can just...
And I was so nervous when that real witch, like Liz Pressman, was on the show. I was so nervous that she was going to be like, you guys aren't real witches. But she, like, totally understood that we were, like, our own kind of witches. And she's like, you guys are the nicest witches. So that, like, just to have that credibility, not even that we were nice, but just to have, like, the credibility, like, she called me a witch. Like, made me so happy. It's like someone calling you an artist for the first time. Like, yes.
That's awesome. All right, I'm excited for this show.
Yeah. Got the four R's.
Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bonk Life NYC.
We're going to do here as some advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on this advice. And then Lauren Maul is going to give advice on this advice on this advice as well.
Yeah.
It's like dudes being dudes being dudes. This is advice on advice. So this is from Carolyn Hacks, one of our favorites. And the title is, She Says... I don't deserve a fancy third wedding.
She says,
I don't deserve
a fancy third wedding.
All right.
Wow.
Dear Carolyn, I'm engaged to a wonderful man, Jim, quote unquote. You know, Jim. And we're planning our wedding. We just booked a gorgeous inn, and I'm going to wear a stunning full-length white dress. I don't know why. We'll also be having a sit-down dinner with band and dancing for the reception.
With band?
With band. That's what it says. With band.
Dinner with band.
Yes, dinner with band.
All right.
And dancing.
Oh.
Dinner with band and dancing for the reception. I'm in my 30s and Jim is in his 40s and we are paying. So no one else really has any say in this. But since it's my third wedding and his second, we're catching a surprising amount of flack from both of our family. Really?
She's in her 30s and it's her third marriage?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But her first marriage when she was 10, so that means plenty of time.
Is there some kind of limit on how many big weddings you're allowed to have, quote unquote? My mom and his sisters are acting like we're violating some unwritten rule that this wedding has to be small and intimate. This isn't a gift grab since we're planning to indicate, quote unquote, no gifts necessary. Okay, people will bring gifts anyway. Right? That's just letting people know they don't have to bring a gift, but damn it, bring a gift.
Right.
I asked my mom if she had doubts about me and Jim, but she insists it's the wedding.
It's the wedding, okay. It's not you.
Yeah, it's not, I don't have a problem with you, honey. It's the wedding and the marriage and the relationship. And even said, quote, her mom said, enough with the big weddings already. We can fully afford this nice but not too elaborate wedding, so why all the grief? Are they living in the past, or have we made some kind of awful goof? Engaged. So the situation here is they're serial marriers.
Yeah.
This is her third wedding.
And what are they doing that they're making this money that they can have these elaborate weddings?
And that's their second wedding. And people are like, look, they don't want to go. Okay, so Katie and I have talked about weddings before.
Yeah.
And how much money they cost people to attend. With the gift giving and the bridesmaids and all this. But it doesn't seem like they're asking, or they don't think they're asking people to put a lot of money out for this. So their question is, like, what's the big deal? Are they living in the past, or are we making some kind of awful goof?
Yeah.
This is, I get what the family is saying. Mm-hmm. This is her third wedding.
It's kind of like...
She's in her 30s.
It's like they want to do an intervention with her. Like, yeah. Maybe not.
But I feel like it's kind of like, she's like... kind of humble bragging, like, you know, we're going to have the dinner with band and dancing.
Yeah.
And we're paying for it. We're not asking for anything. So it's like, how good are we doing? And we just kind of want to show it off.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So you think they're just trying to be like, look, we got it going on.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't need anything from you guys.
Well, I feel like if they want to do it, they should just do it. Because then if they don't do it the way they want, they're going to bitch and moan about it the rest of their lives.
Yeah, right. They should not even care what these other people are. I'm saying that she's missing the point that people are concerned that she keeps getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop her from getting married. Yeah.
No, it's
like,
not
she's
going to
learn herself.
But
like,
her family is trying to be like,
huh?
You know? Another one. We just went to one.
I feel like.
Yeah. we just went to two.
She's never going to hear that. She's never going to hear that she's been married too many times.
Yeah.
That's such a terrible. Look, I hate to break it to you.
It's too many.
But three is too many times.
Yeah.
Three is too many times.
Really is three too many times?
It's not that it's too many times, but this woman is in her... she says she's in her 30s, so we're going to say she's 34.
Yeah, I don't think
this is her third...
I bet she's like 39 or 40. Even in print, like, women like to lie.
So let's say she's 39.
Oh, thank you.
Let's say she's a soft 40. Okay. She's a soft 40. And she started getting married. And I'm using started getting married because I think she's not done. Mm-hmm. Say she started getting married at 21. Mm-hmm. So this is 3 in 20 years. That's hard.
Well, you never
Isn't
know
that
what
fact?
The situation is. And
I
plus,
guess.
Also, like, what if she came from a family where...
They got
her
married
parents,
at 12.
Like, her parents didn't have a good marriage. So she's, like, trying to find a family for herself, but, like, constantly
And then she
married,
keeps doing
you know?
It.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's hear what Hacks has to say. Are they living in the past, or have we made some kind of awful goof? Dear Engage, I'm going with neither, or neither, depending on how fancy you are. They're not living in the past, and you're not making some kind of goof. Chances are both parties are acting on some unspoken internal doubts. Yes! Maybe, you know, like, hold off on this third marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned that you learned nothing from Jim 1 and 2, and are forging ahead. It's a do-over. And you're concerned it won't be taken seriously because you've been there before. If that's the case, my advice is for you and for your family to reckon with your own stuff as needed emotionally instead of fighting a proxy war through the wedding. By that I mean you need to resolve any doubts that you have about the marriage, not through the event planning. And your families can reckon privately what their concerns are versus channeling them through canapé carping. If you're confident about what you're doing is right for you and marrying Jim, quote unquote, then celebrate how you want and feel free to say to your critics, we're happy, we're celebrating, I hope you'll join us, no further discussion necessary. I think that's great advice, but I'm like, be prepared for it, and I told you so, when this falls through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're on gym four, please go back and review this letter.
Yeah.
You know, don't write it again. Just look and see what was said the first time. Yeah. Like, save it up. So that's our advice. That's weird.
No, it is weird.
I don't know, but I mean, I've been to... Have I been to... Well, I mean, I've been to second weddings. I've been to my own. But I mean, I've been to other people's second weddings, but I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, if I were going to do it again, I might just do it in Vegas.
Yeah, right?
Hopefully
yeah.
It'd be the same person, like, that I have this time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just to keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, wouldn't you be exhausted getting married a couple of times? And, like, going through the whole process?
I think some people like that, though. Some people want to be a bride.
Again and again.
Yeah.
Not me either.
Dude, yeah.
And not anyone I know, actually. No. I don't know anyone who's like, man, the day after, like, man, I'd like to do that all again. I'd like to spend $20,000 on chicken or fish.
Yeah, but I guess it's the attention, right?
Think so. And, like, there may be people who want to, like, be performers or have a performer lifestyle, but they, like, can't do it. So, like, it's a day about me.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Like, do a one-woman show.
Yeah.
Do a one-woman show. That should have been the advice.
It's cheaper, dude.
Forget about Jim. Do a one-woman show about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. But you could also make people do things if you're that much of a bridezilla and you have the right people around
you. She's saying that she can even barely get these people to be all right with it.
Yeah.
They're paying for everything themselves. I'm guessing there's no, like, rehearsal dinner or engagement dinner because they're like, oh, here again? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably the same restaurant she had the other two at.
They're giving her a discount.
Yeah. They'll just book her in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope she's happy with this marriage. I hope that Jim 3 pulls through. You know?
Yeah, he seems all right.
I think
he seems okay.
Yeah.
Should I do this bit
again? Yeah, okay.
So I like to report on wolves. The wolves, if I had a spirit or a spirit animal, that would be my spirit animal. So this is about wolves in Chernobyl. It says, could Chernobyl wolves be spreading mutations? And this is like, I am obsessed with Chernobyl and obsessed with wolves. The only thing missing from this article is a shark that would, like, make it the trifecta for me. Yes. So apparently there are a lot of wolves in the around Ukraine's Chernobyl nuclear plant, and there are no people living there. But over time, like, the wolf population has come back, and it's come back strong, and apparently the wolves are radioactive. So they've been putting collars on some of the wolves to see, like, they use the collars to see, like, where the fallout is, but it also keeps track of where the wolves are. And they found that one wolf left the territory and strayed, like, 250 miles out, and they think he's looking for a mate. So that means a couple of things. First of all, that the wolf population is, I can't say they're healthy because they probably glow in the dark, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're big enough that they have to leave the area. So they're wondering now, when this young male who took a 250-mile trek out of the region was heading towards Belarus, into Ukraine, and eventually into Russia looking for a mate, will he pass on radioactive wolf traits?
Radioactive wolf traits. Not just any old wolf traits. And not radioactivity.
We know the wolf population in the Chernobyl zone is high. You'd expect any population at a certain level to start to disperse. Apparently it came time for him to go out into the world. So the trek also raises the question of whether or not the animals could spread their mutations, which they're not clear on, to the general wolf population in Europe. I like the idea of a radioactive wolf.
Mutant wolf.
Like, mutant wolf that glows in the dark or something.
And if that wolf bit you, would it be kind of like the radioactive spider that bit Peter Parker?
It's an origin story.
Let's fly there and get bit, and then all become superheroes.
We can be super she-wolves.
Yeah.
Right? What would we do? What would our powers be? Like,
just wolfing out, man.
Like, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to wolf it.
Yeah, we're going to wolf out. We just hang out in our den, and then we wolf out.
Yep. That's it. That's our power.
It's our lifestyle.
It's like, what are they doing? What do you think? Wolfing.
Yeah. Wolfing out. Oh, God.
But it just...
Chasing shit.
So, they hadn't, you know... Yeah.
finding water sources.
Just do that every time.
Yeah. Fine ass wolves.
Yeah.
You know, hanging out.
Walking around in a circle before laying down. You know, like.
Sniffing a few butts.
Yeah.
You know.
Wolf stuff.
But the idea that they have told, so they have tried to secure this zone. But they didn't think about the fact that animals that are who are, you know, reproducing in the Chernobyl area have these traits.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're radioactive. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting out. They know that birds are getting out. So they're taking the radiation.
Birds can't contain a bird.
But they're taking their radiation with them into the general wolf bird population.
We're just all doomed. I really think
I think it actually is hopeful that these wolves are, like, alive. They're radioactive, but they're alive. Yeah. It's like, hey, people could be radioactive in life.
Well, I mean, and if it weren't for this, the fact that there are no people there, they wouldn't have such, like, a big population. Yeah. So they might be chilling.
And do you guys remember at the Sharper Image how they would say on the display things that, like, this is radioactive just so people wouldn't touch it? So now, now whenever I hear that things are radioactive, I'm like, just like a Sharper Image. And it took me years to know that, like, oh, they're not radioactive, but, like, part of me still thinks, like, yes, they are.
It worked.
Oh, man.
It worked.
That's so funny.
Because, like, what does it even mean? Like, can you even, if you didn't have, like, one of those gauge thingies, would you even know if something's radioactive?
No, I mean, I just, my knowledge is from TV and films where they go, like, tick, 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 tick,
tick. But without that, ba, 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 how do you know, dude?
Everything could be radioactive, man.
Exactly.
Not just wolves.
Yeah.
I like that wolfing out.
Wolfing out.
I love wolves.
Let's go there. Let's get busy.
I know. I have a wolf tattoo. Yeah.
Ow!
I feel like I should add some wavy lines to my tattoo of a wolf now.
Do it.
Some yellow outline to it.
Yeah, wolfing
out. To show that it's radioactive.
Or and that nuclear sign, that triangle.
Yes.
Has
wolfing out.
Okay, so we have some tales from the campfire.
Ooh, so Tales from Their Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories, scary stuff, urban legends, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So please
gather around,
gather
listeners.
Around.
I am so glad that you pulled that out of a spooky frayed portfolio. It makes it seem even spookier.
It's
like
a haunted folder.
I found this in the studio when we moved in. You know, like, it's been here since the 80s, you know? Like, what?
Yes, this is a scary file of scary stuff. And I tell you that when I look for ghost stories, I can't do it at night. And when I do, I freak myself out.
I said, do it during the day. Do it on a Saturday around 2.
I get so scared.
Watch a Rocky movie afterwards.
Honestly.
Forget about it. Okay.
Rocky.
All right, we have 7 minutes.
Because he'll protect you.
Yeah. Which is the upbeat feeling of it chases, like, the gloom away.
That's true.
Okay, all right. So I have a couple of different short ones, but we can talk about this and see what everybody thinks.
Okay.
All right. 4 years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a woman in a black dress standing beside my bed.
Classic.
When I sat up, she started to accuse me of having done things that I haven't done, saying that I apparently stole someone from her. I don't know who it was.
You gotta find out.
I'm going through my head to argue with a ghost. I don't know what was going through my head to argue with a ghost, but eventually...
Was caught off guard. Like a demon accused you, like, hold on, dude. Yeah. Seriously, I wasn't there.
But eventually I decided to ignore her and go back to sleep.
Really? No.
Then
because he couldn't come up with anything?
Then she pulled me out of the bed while attacking my body.
Oh, is this succubus?
She suddenly disappeared, and I was so afraid I couldn't get back to sleep. The whole thing felt so real that I was actually sore the next day, especially around my ankles where she grabbed me while pulling me from the bed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is?
I always love the explanation where, like, people think it's paranormal, but it's actually, like, a deranged neighbor who's gotten inside their apartment. Like, it's an actual person who needs medical help, but you're like, it's a ghost. Yeah. To me, that's, like, the scariest.
That's the really scariest the first place you go is, like, the paranormal instead of a simple explanation.
Yeah. It's like, well, did you lock your door?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, do you live with people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they sleepwalk?
Yeah. Because to have physical manifestations of it to be that strong.
This person did something, and they are just trying to process it.
Oh, good call.
And I think maybe they grab their own ankles, and they are very flexible.
Yeah, because the mind is, like, powerful.
Yeah, they acted it out.
Yeah.
They went Bikram on it.
They went Bikram on themselves?
They just grabbed their own ankles.
They don't remember. They kind of projected it onto this this woman on the, in the black dress.
Else. Yeah. They don't blame her for everything.
It's probably like their mom or something. Yeah. They're like in the middle of a dream and they're just like, oh, I didn't do it.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or the, yeah, their grandmother comes in that lives in upstairs and the
yeah,
other
it's like, hey, how's it going? It's like, oh, bitch. We want to thank you for coming in, Lorma. If people are looking to find you, how can they do so?
GatheringTheCoven.com or
Lorma. No one had that website?
Yeah, no one did. Is that right? The universe was like, yes, Lauren, it is yours. And then LaurenMaul.org or .com. And it's LaurenMaul, like what a bear does do, not where a bear shops.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
it was so great.
Welcome back.
Back anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.